You have offered you to more sense than you.
Okay, and we are on Kuf Vei Zamed Aleph. And we are at the bottom line, I believe. Rebavo was accustomed that he used to say drushes about the three kings that have no chelik in Olam Haba. So Rashi have a darish b'shloshim malachim by the kohenim asisin the shloshim malachim elam chelik. So Rashi seems to translate it not that he did this on a frequent basis, but he happened to be at this mishnah, and when he was at this mishnah, he did not hesitate to darshan about the three kings. Cholosh, he got weak. So he interpreted the sign of weakness is because he's discussing these three kings. So he accepted upon himself not to darshan. Some say he accepted it with neder. Some say he said it without a neder. Well, if it's a neder, it makes a little bit of a problem, as we'll see in a moment. Even the Isman, when he got healed, hadda kadarish. So he went back to darshaning about them. Amru lois, the people told him, Amri, like kabilas alach le darshan, didn't you accept upon yourself not to darshan? Did they do tshuva that I should change my mind? And the Mepharshim explained they had circumstances that led them to rethink their lifestyle, and they didn't rethink their lifestyle. So I think I shouldn't rethink my lifestyle either. Now, if it was a neder, he was matur his neder. Question is, halacha is, if somebody makes a neder be'eitz tzara, he's not allowed to be matur unless it's a dvar mitzvah. So the Machwedim said this was a dvar mitzvah. He felt it was important to teach the future generations the consequences of sin, to the point that people can lose their Olam Haba, so he felt it was important for him to darshan about it. And that's exactly what he's saying with this last line. He said, they had wake-up calls to do tshuva and didn't, so why should I stop darshaning about them? It's necessary for people to realize the extent of what happened so they should understand the consequences of chet and not doing tshuva. So the Mepharshim explained is why he continued darshaning about it. The Trashi is stuck in the strapping at heels. I'm going to tell you about the look. Amaloi inu mihadru midarkim aroa, did they change in their bad ways? I know how to be mevudosh and I should stop darshaning. Period. But Ashi uki ashloishim malachim. Ashi learns uki siyim hachpirka ashigil ushlajimu malachim. The way the Mepharshim explained Rashi is that Rav Ashi finished the perek till he got to shloishim malachim, meaning he was almost finished the whole perek. At the end of the Masechta Sanhedrin, he was learning perek chelik. He finished chelik till he got to the part about shloishim malachim, and then he said he ran out of the day. He was planning to finish chelik, and it was the end of the day already, and he had not finished. He got up to shloishim malachim, so he said, "Amar," he said, "L'mocha niftach b'charven. Tomorrow we'll discuss our friends, meaning they were tamid chacham like we were, and they lost their chelik in olam haba. We'll discuss our friends." Now, over here, the many Mepharshim say different things. I think simple pshat in the Gemara is penetrating enough. What word am I looking for? Is enough that I don't want to get off the tangent and say different pshatim. Some pshatim are bothered why he called them his friends. Didn't he know they have no chelik b'olam haba? So why did he refer to them as friends? Parsha they blew in the pshat, even though they were tamid chachamim, they still blew it. That's what. There's another person calling in. I don't think it's set up, so I don't know what to say. Does anybody have a free cell phone? Guess not. If it's a free cell phone, I'll tell somebody to call in on the other line. You have one? So fine. If it clicks again, it might not click again. Didn't click again. Okay. So after Menashe's chazalei b'chalmei, that night Menashe appears to him in a dream. Amar, he said, you're calling me your friend and your father's friend, meaning you think you're on my level in learning, that you can call yourself a friend of mine, that like we're both Tamid HaChachamim. From where do you start making the Hamaitzi? Which part of a bread should a person make the Hamaitzi on? Amalei lo yadana. So Menashe, so Rav Ashi said, I don't know. You don't even know where to make the bracha hamaitzi, where to start the hamaitzi, right? You don't know where to cut the bread. The chavra karislam, and you call me your friend. Amalei agmarli. So Rav Ashi says, teach it to me. And tomorrow I will say it over in the Beis Medrash in your name. Amalei mehechad the karim b'shula. where the bread bakes first. That's what one learned, where the bread bakes best, where the bread forms crust, different shatim Rashi will say. We'll get to the halacha in a moment. Now, the Farshim try to say, why did he say this halacha of all halachas? So they want to say, the pshat is, you're considering me your friend. The whole concept of making hamaitzi lechem min haaretz is, quote unquote, the power of tshuva. Let me explain. The Gemara says that before the chait eitz hadas, first of all, the wheat tree was a tree. Rashi Rosh Hashanah brings this, that wheat grew on a tree, not on a plant. It was not a plant like it is today. It was a stalk, it was a tree. Second of all, bread grew as a finished product. And because of the klal of other Marishan, much breaks down. And the thing didn't work. I tried it. It doesn't work. Okay, fine. Because of the chait adam rishon, there are 10 things that have to be done to wheat till it turns into bread. So it's a process. And yet we say, hamaitzi lechem min haaretz. We thank Hashem who brings out bread from the ground as if the bread is growing on its own. It's not. The Bible does not make bread grow from the ground. It used to, before the chait eitz hadas. Now he doesn't make bread grow from the ground. Wheat grows from the ground, and we have to process it. But Teretz says the power of tshuva is that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is because potentially this is what's supposed to grow from the ground, so we view it, that is, that lechem grows from the ground. So when Rashi was questioning Rav Ashi, like, you don't even know where to make a bracha on bread, meaning, hamaitzi lechem min haaretz, and you're faulting me without realizing the fact that I did tshuva. That's what some of the Mepharshim want to learn in the connection between the statements. Amalaisi told them, let's catch up with Rashi because we're still in the middle of the story. Does Rashi, Amal Mokhar Niftach Bechavrim, we did. Amal Menashe Bechaloi Bechavrim Bechavid Avichanon, you think I'm your friend? Claim the Kisav Rata Shinir Chavercha Bechavid Avichon, you think we are your friends? You know how to learn like us? Do you consider us your friends? You don't even know which place in the bread to make Amaiti. You call us your friends? Where the bread, karim, what's karim? So trashy, the mokum shini krumim panel shall pass the tanner. Where the bread forms a crust, the animal mile which is on top, either on the top, or on the sides, or on the bottom, wherever the bread is crusty. I will be emsaloi, not in the middle of the bread. So be healed upon a prusa shalechem, if somebody brings in front of you a piece of bread, a slice. Make the bracha on the crust part, do not make the bracha over the middle. That's the first shot. So shachrina mehecha de kadim, not karim, but kadim. Chalema mehecha shemagdim lefais, find a wach. It's the same shot, but instead of saying where it crusts, it's where it starts baking, which is where it crusts. So shachrina mehecha de gomer bishula, mehmokim shalechem ofu yafa, where it's baked best. I don't know what that is. Verisha Nira Rashi likes his first shatim. So Rashi offers a bunch of shatim. Now, there's no choikus in halacha what to make the bracha on Maitzi on. The Mechaber Paskins, like the Rambam, that you should make it where the bread is baked best. You pick the part of the loaf of bread that baked best. I think the Mepharshim say where the crust is hardest. That's what baked best. And that's where you should make the bracha on Maitzi on. There are more paskins like Rashi, that it's not where it bakes best, but where it bakes first. And it's machloikis, where in those days, the bread used to be on the side of the oven. They used to say it bakes first, where the fire is exposed to. Today, the breads are in pans, sitting on the bottom, the heat is under them, at least the most of them. And therefore, it's a shiloh, where the bread breaks best. Some say the top, where it bakes first. Some say the top, and some say the bottom. So what the bottom halacha is, when you make the hamaitzi, you turn it sideways. And you cut the top and the bottom at the same time. That's where it comes from. If you see people, they turn it sideways and they cut. They don't cut top to bottom. They cut sideways. And that's where they cut the makom the karim b'shula. That's what brought down halacha. That way you get where the bread crusted first. Because we're mesupik whether it's the top or the bottom, so we turn it sideways, and that way you get both. Now, in halacha it's brought that that's where you make the hamaitzi, and that's where you cut it first. I saw Klaus Magrebe take a tzaddik ravacha, after he cut a slice of bread, He cut off a piece of the bottom and a piece of the top, and that's what he ate first as well. Because again, he wanted to eat the part that was Karim Bishula. That I did not see in the bracha. The halacha says, you make the bracha milk of the Karim Bishula. I saw him many a time. He turned it sideways, cut a slice, and then cut off a piece of the bottom and a piece of the top, and that's what he put into his mouth first. So he should eat Mimakum the Karim Bishula also, and again it's a machlokes whether it's the top or the bottom, so therefore he did it that way.
But Rashi didn't know this.
There's two people talking one time. What?
He didn't know this halacha?
This is the Mefarshim Abazar, the Teres Chaim asked, where Rashi didn't know this halacha. I don't know, I don't know how to answer it. They say kind of truths, but I don't know, he didn't. The bottom line is he didn't know some halacha, right? If he did, then he would have said, I know. He would have said, I know. What? No, no, the question is what you make the bracha on. What do you cut first? Where do you cut the bread? The first thing into his mouth. When he made...
He took two pieces, put them all in his mouth simultaneously.
Yes.
Oh.
Two little pieces, one from the top, one at the bottom, and he put that into his piece in the mouth simultaneously.
Is it hanging in our oven? Where is it coming from there?
Well, it depends. Some people have their, you know, the elements usually on the bottom, though. And the thing is in the pan. So I would venture to say that our bottom takes first. Karim Bishula first. So I would venture to say. Now, Malka Mishnah Berurah says, we don't know. But it could be that the Mishnah Berurah's ovens were different than ours. What? So this is the shaila. It's at the top or the bottom. I don't know how Quran that Bisman Azeh. I just know that that it's brought down as a suffix, and that's why you should cut the bread sideways. Shabbos, when you cut a whole loaf, people turn it sideways and cut it that way. That way you're cutting top and bottom simultaneously.
Rabbi,
yes?
Did you notice the other Rebbe eat at the end of the meal a piece of the bread that, from which you made mostly?
I didn't notice. I did not notice. That answered the question. I don't know. Yes?
Rashi, by saying over the halacha today, do you think that
he's
trying to get
Menashe
out of
Gehenim? We're not finished with Menashe yet, whether he's in Gehenim or not. You know, again, the Mekubalim say that none of these three ended up in Gehenim, and that saying Eimer Chemek Levim Abba was part of the Kapara process in order to make it to Gehenim, to make it out of Gehenim. So again, it's hard for us to answer. That's what the Mekubalim learned. I mean, the Gemara definitely, we're not finished yet. We're in the middle of the story. So let's finish the story, we'll have a better idea. Again, I'm not going to possibly let it get Eilam Haba, it's not my business. The possibly is, the Mekubalim say that they all ended up in Eilam Haba, and that the Eilam Chemek Eilam Haba is part of the Kapara process. However, in the Gemara, there seems to be a Machlokes. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see later on. I mean, they bring a Raya from Gemara later on. We'll see. We'll see when we get there. And chew everything in 1 minute. Let's just finish the story, and I wanted to go back. Harvey asked me a question on Friday that I did not have an answer for. I spent time thinking about it. I think I have an answer for it, so I want to go back to it. So let me first finish this story. So Rav Ashi asked Menashe, if you're so smart, my time at Kapokhisu Avedis Kachavim, so why did you serve Avedis Zara? If you're such a big time Kachavim, and you know more than I know, so why would you serve Avedis Zara? Amalai, so Menashe answered him, you have his chasam, if you would have been there, have us the kitna b'shipula glima, you would have raised the bottom of your cloak. They wore a long cloak. You would have picked it up so you can run faster. You would have chased the Avodah Zarah. Meaning, you cannot compare your Yetzirah Avodah Zarah to our Yetzirah Avodah Zarah. I walked Avodah Zarah. You would have picked up your coat that you should be able to run Avodah Zarah. That's how strong the Yetzirah Avodah Zarah was. The next day, let us start talking about our Rebbeim. They do how to learn much more than us, and we cannot equate ourselves with Madrega of Tyra to them. Rashi, you would have picked up the bottom of your coat, shirt, long cloak. It should be easier to run. You would have ran there because of the Yetzer of Erizara that was dominant. We did not say our friend. Now, Harvey asked me a question on Friday. The Gemara said, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's your fault you gave them a lot of money. So Harvey wanted to know, what is the difference between that and Adam Rishon, who said, Isha Shem Nesatoy Madi, and we fault Adam Rishon for blaming it on his wife, So over here, somebody does you a favor and gives you a lot of money, and you blame the lot of money that he gave you for the chet that you do. I mean, why is that not the same lack of akaras atayim? And I thought about it, and I think the shot is as follows. We're not saying that Adam Rishon lied. We're not saying that Adam Rishon was wrong. We're not saying that Adam Rishon was not right in blaming the fact that his wife persuaded him. In fact, we do blame the Isha for the chet Eitz Hadas, more so than we blame the man. We do blame Adam Rishon also, but his wife did instigate, started him off, and persuaded him. What we blame him is for the lack of Akaras HaTayv. He shouldn't have acted, the words that we bothered with is Aisha Shanasati Madi. As if I did you a favor, and instead of thanking me for the favor, you're blaming it on the favor that I did you. That means you're denying the favor that I did you. It's Kafri Taiva. It's not saying that what Adam Rishon claims had no basis at all. That's some basis. There is a basis to say, I was persuaded. But the way he could have said, you know, I fell to the persuasion of my wife. He didn't say that. He said, you gave it to me, that's why I got stuck with chet. So what we're faulting him for is not the basis of his claim, but the lack of akaras hatayim. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was not coming on his own personal thing that he should be makatayim and not makatayim. It's Klal Yisrael's job to be makatayim for the riches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, bottom line is, it did help, it did cause the chet. It did enable them to do a chet. Doesn't totally exonerate them, but it puts them in a situation, meaning, what I'm trying to say is, we're not saying Adam Rishon had his facts wrong, and there was no substance to what he said. We're saying, with all the substance to what he said, his approach was totally wrong. A favor was done to him, the favor obviously backfired to him in a certain sense, partially his blame, partially her blame, but don't say, therefore there was no favor done. It was a favor that ended up being misused for some sort. So don't say the favor was no favor. It was a favor. It just didn't work for this circumstance. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Rabbeinu Shlomo, you gave them a lot of money, and he's not talking about his own personal thing that he owes Hakaras HaTayv. It's Klal Yisrael's obligation to be appreciative of the money they got. He's pointing out that it's not totally their fault. Part of it is cost, which is a true fact. Part of it was caused by the fact that they had abundance of money. So I don't think, in both cases, it's the same thing. But in one case, one is dealing with his own, he received a favor, and he's making it sound like it was the most terrible thing to happen. And that's not true. In the other case, Klal Yisrael received a favor, and they should be appreciative. Moshe Rabbeinu, as a side onlooker, is saying, the bottom line is the favor did mislead them. He doesn't have to have that car, that's why I've opened up.
But he's coming to God as their representative. God's response is going to be, this is why I'm upset.
Well, he's not coming as their representative. He's coming as someone who's on the quote unquote pulled away. He didn't do the angel.
He's arguing for them.
Right. So his argument for them is, as an outside observer, you set them up for failure. Meaning, I'm the outside observer. Whereas Adam Rishon, he should have said, thank you very much for giving me a wife. It's 90% good, but this 10% blew it for me. He didn't say that. He made it sound like it's 100% bad. Whereas by Dizov, Moshe Rabbeinu is not interested now in denying the favor Hashem did for Klai. It's not for him. It was done for Klai. So there, Achia Bakar Tatai. As an outside observer, he's pointing out, by the way, the favor you did them, that's what I think is the difference. Well, maybe I don't know.
He never asked for a wife.
Well, I thought he wanted a wife, because he tried to figure out which animal he's supposed to be a mate with, and he couldn't find a mate with.
But he could have been that. He never said, he never asked. There could have been other ways for him to get his. Whatever he needed.
I mean, I'm going to go consider him as a favor. White type of Yais Adam Mubadai. Right? That's the Gemara right. Achav. We move on to Achav. Achav is Achav, brother or father. So we say Ach Lashemayim. And Rashi learns Ach means a Lashon of woe. It's a Lashon of a krecht. Ach. It's a Lashon of a sigh. Ach Lashemayim. When it came to Shemayim things, he was a krecht. He was a negative. However, when it came to Avodah Zarah, there he was, its best friend. He was a father to Avodah Zarah. A a krechts for tsaras is created. So Rashi learns it. Av avad chacham, chiv karachim av abanim, meaning he was karachim. Others want to learn that Achav Shemayim is a positive, because the Gemara says later on that Achav did a lot of good things. So he did a lot of good things. He was an enigma. He was a person who was a total contradiction in self. Did a lot of good and a lot of bad. And therefore he was Achav Shemayim v'av Avad Chacham, someone to learn. Ach meaning a positive. He was a brother, Lashemayim. He did good things, but he was an Abba and a Chacham at the same time. So he was basically a contradictory person. And the Gemara is going to point that out as we go along, that there was a major contradictions in him. And therefore, he's Ach of. That's what someone learned. But Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi paints him as Ach Lashemayim. He was a Sai. He was a, I can't think of a better word. He was a Krech.
German Ach is a Sai.
Sai, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Ach, there it is. And he was Avash Avadizara. That's Rashi. Ach l'shemayim, ra l'shemayim, because the meaning of Achshavish Ach l'raish. Siv Ach l'tzara l'vay l'tzara. Alma Ach l'shem ra vay. L'shem of whoa whoa. Av Avadizachav shayhava b'yaitzer. He loved it. Siv Karachim Av. I'm Av Merachim. Rashi says something very interesting. Honey Kloy b'chdi nakitlu. We know what Ach means and Av means. There's really no reason for the Gemara to have to tell me that Av is a positive and that Ach is a negative. We would have figured it out on our own. Why? Just time the Gemara brings it as an extra support, but not necessary. The pshat is self-evident. That's what Rashi seems to say. That's the Gemara right. Vahi hanekel lechta b'chatas yiravim ben avat. For him, it was hanekel. It was for him very easy to follow the chatoim of yiravim ben avat. Meaning, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kala sh'ata agav k'chamur sh'ata yiravim. His light averis equal to Rabban's bad Averis. Meaning he was so bad that his Averis, the lesser ones, were Yerubim's worst ones. He started where Yerubim left off. I mean, not all our cause to be Yerubim. Why do we always blame Yerubim? We say, L'sorim al-chatesh Yerubim. We're always saying people sinned like Yerubim. They say, who are you? Tchilu l'galkala. Because he was the first one to be bad, meaning he started it off. He was the one that set the ball rolling that there should be so much Avodah Zarah, and therefore he gets blamed, even though Akav took it to a new level. So Trashi, Vayyan Ekel Ba'Akav Ksim Flem Kalusay La'Akav Kol Katzayter Shirabim. The sins of Yerubim were easy things for him. Matal Akav to be Yerubim. The Bekamim Mekayim Ksim Le'Sarma Kol Katzayter Shirabim. Many places it says he did not leave the sins of Yerubim. Ksim Akav. Doesn't blame Achav. Abishai Rashi Mimenu. He was worse. Tzilu Lagakala. Shei Melech Rishon Shechdiach Tavshiloi. He was the first king that burnt his soup, burnt his pot. Meaning, that's a way of saying was Ivan Avodah Zarah. That the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabbi Yechon Eloch Kol Telam VeTelam BeEretz Yisrael. There's no mound. What does he learn? Telam. Usually means when you plow, you make a furrow. Furrow, he calls it. Heaps of
furrows.
Right. So Hamid all of Achav Avedis Kuchavim, Vishtach Vilay. There was no place in Eretz Yisrael that he did not place Avedis Zarah and bow down to it. That's how bad he was. How do I know that he ain't making it to the next world? Dechsev, Vichrati la'achav mashtim b'kir. I will destroy from Achav. Many pshatim say it, mashtim b'kir. Rashi learns like the Targum Yonason. It means mashtim place the kir in the corners of his heart, referring to someone who's wise. I will take away his tamid chachamim. That's how Rashi learns. The Matsudas learns mashtim bakir means a male who urinates in a corner, meaning is able to urinate from by standing by a wall. So the reference to males as opposed to females is mashtim bakir. That's what some learn. Right. Someone to learn it goes on dogs, who are always mashtim bakir, means there'll be a total wipeout, starting with mashtim bakir, the atzur v'azov b'yisrael. Now, usually atzur means the rich, and azov means the poor. What does he say atzur and azov is?
Abandoned, withheld, and abandoned.
Atzur by l'mazeh, v'azov by l'mazeh. The trashi, gambis b'chaysam, Halki Reisha the Kraw. We don't have it now. Yeah, we have it. I skipped that one. Gam is b'chaysim kigalim al talmei sada. Is b'chaysim were like heaps on the furrows of the field, like mounds on the furrows of the field. It's actually got me the white donkey raising the crop. The Gilgal Shvarim Zibchu. In Gilgal, they shechted Shvarim. Gamiz Bechaisim Gigalim Matamri Sada. Mashta Bekir, Tamad Chacham Meshus Bekiris Levi. The Tamad Chacham who places into the corners of the heart, places wisdom. Amr Rabbi Yechon, Memad Zacha Amr Lamalchus. Why was Amri, Acha's father, Zaycha to be king? Meshahaisiv Krach Echad Beretz Yisrael. He added a metropolis in Eretz Yisrael. He built a huge city in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he was Zaycha to be king. The Mepharshim are bothered that the story of him building this, of acquiring the city happened before he became king. So why are we saying he was Zaycha Lamalchus? Because he made the city, when he made the city before, I'm sorry, after he became king. So why are we saying he was Zaycha Lamalchus? Because he built the city, after he became king. So they want to learn why was he Zaycha to a dynasty. There were three generations of his kingdom before it was wiped out. Why was he Zaycha Lamalchus? And the answer is, because when he did become king, he built a city in Eretz Yisrael. Shenamagam, Shenamar, Vayikin Esahar Shemrein, Me'esh Shemer, B'kikarim Kesef. He bought the mountain of Shemrein from the person who owned it, his name was Shemer, B'kikarim Kesef, for 2 kikar of silver. Vayivin Esahar, he built up the mountain, Vayikra Shemir Ashabon Hashem Shemer Adayne Oyer Shemar Shemrein. He named it Shemer because of the original owner, so it became Shemrein. Rashi? No Rashi.
Mashma from our scroll, it was this unselfish deed that led God to make him king without any consequence. They don't even question.
I'm just telling you, the Mepharshim asked. In sequence, it's not the way it happened.
I'm saying the surprising that the our scroll would let it go by without.
That's right, Rabbi Elias, the letter, I don't know what to tell you. The Mepharshim asked that in sequence it doesn't work. And they answer that that's why he was there, it's a dynasty.
Also, I don't want to get into politics. Is this the Shomron that we're familiar with today?
Shomron today is a neighborhood. It's an area.
It's
a
settlement. Shomron has nothing to do with settlements. Shomron is an area in Eretz Yisrael. With settlements and without settlements, it's an area of Eretz Yisrael. Like the greater Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with the map that they draw in the UN. The greater Eretz Yisrael is the map the Rabbeinu Shlom drew, and that included Shemron, yes. But Shemron was a city.
He just built up something that was already land that was...
Shemron refers to the land where there was a city called Shemron.
So he just built up a city that was already on land that was Kadosh.
But it wasn't called Shemron. It was called... I don't know what area it was called. I have no idea. But he named the city Shemron, and that's where the area got its name for in long term. But not, he didn't make this area called Shemron. It existed way before him. It wasn't called Shemron, that's all. Shemron was located in the area today called Shemron. Exactly where, I don't know. But today Shemron is not a city. Shemron is a whole, it's a whole area. It's like Yehuda, it's like Eber HaYarden, it's like Galil. It's a region. There's a region called Shemron. In that region was a city called Shemron. The region wasn't called Shemron before him. It came named Shemron later. In fact, I don't remember, and again, my memory doesn't mean anything in this. In the Mishnah, when it talks about 3 sections in Eretz Yisrael, it talks about Yehuda, Eber HaYarden, and Agol. It does not talk about Shemron as a different region. That might be a modern... I don't know where it started from, to have Eretz Shemron mean the region called Shemron. And in the Mishnah, it split Eretz Yisrael into 3 regions. Yehuda, which is the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, Eber HaYarden, which is Transjordan, and Shemron, which is, and Galil, which is the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, which I think includes Shemron. But today, I think they have it more specific, and they have the Galil, and then they have Shemron separate. I think that might be due to the map drawers, more than it is due to the halachic aspect of it. Amri Sardi was a Melech Me'atzma. He was a rebellious general who took power.
Who's king of his time?
I can't remember Navi well enough. I know he launched a rebellion together with somebody named Zimri, who lasted 1 week, and then Amri deposed him.
This is well after Yerubbaal?
I think it's 2 dynasties after Yerubbaal, I think. I'm not sure. I think there was a Basha, that took over after your Rav, and again, you're testing my Navi, which is not a good idea. I think there was a Basha, and after Basha, there might have been someone else, and then Zimri and Amri, or it might have been Amri right away, I'm not sure.
He rebelled, his rebellion was against Torah, well, I don't understand, he rebelled.
He wanted to be king.
Was it? Hashem gave him the king.
That was Yerubim. Yerubim's family was wiped out.
I'm saying, I'll
have his
father's
arm, right? Yeah. He's the king. So he was a Russia. So,
this was his scar
and he got to become king? Yes. If we learn it the way I explained it, after he became king, he built a city, and because of that, his kids would have a dynasty. Short one, but a dynasty nonetheless.
He did it for the person who had the land.
He bought a mountain off a person and built a city on it.
Okay, and because he didn't even put his name there, but he put the person.
There's nothing to do with that. That's a side issue. He's not getting rewarded for that. The Gemara is just saying he got named for that person. That's all. That's what the pasuk says. What he named the city is not the reason he got anything. He got scarred because he built a city. End of story. He happened to name the city for the original boss. That's all. Now, the Sveger over here, it's an interesting of Sveger that asked the question because it says that the former Tzoroim, Gehazi and his kids, were outside of the city of Shimrin. Mashma, they were not allowed to come into Shimrin. And from the fact of Sveger, it's Mashma here that Shimrin was not around in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. And the Tzair is only not allowed into a city that had walls up since the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And it says the Mitzrayim were out of the city, they were not allowed into the city. I bought Mitzrayim in the city of Shimrin, and yet Shimrin, as Mashma here, was a new city. Nothing, no Shaykhus to the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So why would a Mitzrayim banned from the city? That's what Kivanger says, Hikshali Chacham Echad. Kivanger says, someone asked me, why is, he doesn't write it here, he asked it by the Halacha Mitzrayim. Why were they banned from the city? He wasn't around from, so he answers, the city existed, and he bought the city off of Shemer, it existed before, and he built it up. And he made it into a metropolis. Built it up, but the walls existed previously, and therefore was there Mimais Yeshua ben Nun. That's the Kivanger's answer. The Binyan Tzion, Achmaner, had problems with it. If you read this Gemara, does not sound that it was a pre-existing city, and yet the Mitzrayim could not go in. So he comes up with the following thing. He says the king of Shimrin wanted to claim that his city was a new Yerushalayim. This was the answer to Yerushalayim. They have Yerushalayim, and we have Shimrin. So therefore, he halachically put all the rules of Yerushalayim on his city, not because he had a walking basis to do so, but that was part of his reenacting Yerushalayim. And therefore, he didn't let Mitzrayim in. Halachically, they were allowed to go in. But the king said, no Mitzrayim, like no Mitzrayim in Yerushalayim, no Mitzrayim here either. So it was a king's decision not to let Mitzrayim in, not the halachic decision. That's what the Binyan Tzion wants to say. But Kivanger seems to say there was a city which had walls, but he did is, he turned it into a vibrant city, and for that he got Malchus. That's how Kivanger learned. That's the Gemara Bais. Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Mitneima Zocha Achav L'Malchus Chav Beishana. Why was Achav Zocha to be king for 22 years? Meshachibet Esa Taira. He honored Taira Shenitna B'Chav Beishas, which is given in 22 letters. Shenema. Now this is an unbelievable story, which again, after everything is said and done, still escapes my ability to understand it, except for the fact that I don't understand the Eitar of Avodah Zarah, and therefore I cannot really understand the people of that generation. What happened was there was a king named Ben-Hadad. He was the king of Aram, and he launched a major attack on Klal Yisrael, and he defeated them. They were lost. And he threatened now to come and wipe them out. So he sends the following message to Achav, the king of Israel, to the city. And these are his surrender terms. Your silver and gold is mine. Your wives and your children are mine. By this time tomorrow, I will send my servants to you. V'chibsu es beischav es batei avadecha. They will search your house and your servants' houses. V'hayakom machmat einecha yisimu b'yadam v'lachu. And all the desire of your eyes, they will take away. Those are the surrender terms. V'yoyimah l'malachei ben hadad. Achav responds. Imru l'adayni hamelach. Say to my master the king. Which is a surrender in itself. Whatever you ask for first, which was gold, silver, children, I'm willing to surrender. You can have my money, you can have my wives, you can have my children. Your last addition, the desire of my eyes, that I can't do. Now what couldn't he give up? What does a person love more than his wife and children? He can give up his wife, his children, his money. But it's one thing I cannot agree to and surrender. My machman einecha. Lav sefer Torah. Isn't it the desire of the eyes that Ben Hadad wanted the sefer Torah and Achav said, I ain't not giving you the sefer Torah? So we see he was mechabed es haTorah. That's the Gemara, do mavayt es kechavim. Maybe it means his avayt es zara. That's the Gemara, lo yitakadaitach. Yosib, ayoyim mo'el of kol askeinim v'cholo'am. The Skeinim and the said, don't listen and don't agree. Now, why in the world would the Skeinim want to keep Avodah Zarah? If the Skeinim are saying, you're right, refuse to surrender, that means it's something that the Skeinim think is chashuv. Maybe they were low down Skeinim. Who says these Skeinim were chashuv Skeinim? Maybe these were Avodah Zarah. Be like Siv Ayishra Adavar Bein Avshalom Bein Kozikni Yisrael, and Avshalom launched his rebellion and says the Skeinim agreed to him too. Those weren't the real Skeinim, those were the low down Skeinim. The Amar Rav Yosef Savi Devasa. How does he translate Devasa? Rashi says Shvelim, low.
Shameful.
That's the Gemara. Hasam like Siv Cholam. There it doesn't say everybody agreed. Halchik Siv Cholam. And it's the Yevshir that have a Bein Tzadiki. It's impossible to have everybody that there's no tzaddik amongst them. In fact, there'll be 7,000 people left. These are the people that didn't bow down to Avodah Zarah. Those 7,000 would not argue about giving up Avodah Zarah. They didn't serve Avodah Zarah. And here they're saying, don't give in. That means it was something precious to them. What is that? All mouths did not kiss it. Therefore, he was Mechabed es haTorah. So Chazal are telling us that here is a person that's Ivan Avodah Zarah. He made thousands upon thousands of Avodah Zarah. And yet, you ask him for the Sefer Torah, he's not giving up the Sefer Torah. And because of that, by the way, he was Zeichet to Big Yeshua. He was Zeichet to 22 years of Malchus. But besides that, he was saved from Ben Hadad, because he refused to surrender the Sefer Torah. Achroinim bring a riot from here, that one is not allowed to give a Sefer Torah to a guy, even if the guy promises to keep it in honor. Because this is the Machlokes Achroinim. These Achroinim assumed that if Ben Hadad wanted the Sefer Torah, he was going to treat it with respect. And yet, he refused to give it to him. Others want to say, no, Ben Hadad wanted to take the Sefer Torah and treat it in disrespect to show his victory over Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he was asked for him to give him the Sefer Torah. The big Shaila, not a Yag Vayavar, but the big Shaila, if a guy asks for a Sefer Torah and he wants to put his museum or somewhere else, are you allowed to give it to him? Many Achroinim asked it. Based on this Gemara, that it seemed that it was Achav did not want to give up the Sefer Torah, and he was rewarded for it. It seems you're not supposed to give a Sefer Torah to a guy, even if he promised to treat it in a respectful manner. The question is, was Ben Hadad going to treat this respectfully or not? This is the big Shaila that they have.
He knew that he kept it with respect.
That's the Shaila. Some Achroinim want to assume, Yudyal and others, that if Ben Hadad wanted the Sefer Torah so badly, that means he wanted to have the Jewish Sefer Torah as his, not that he wanted to treat it in a despicable fashion. Others want to say that this was his symbol of victory over Judaism, was he was going to rip the Sefer Torah, Chana Lutzman, apart. And therefore, so that's the Shaila. Can you prove anything about giving a Sefer Torah to a museum or something run by Gayim, owned by Gayim, and they want a Sefer Torah?
Whatever, it wasn't a secret that Achav held it precious then. I mean, everybody knew that Achav.
Right.
Respect
him. Right. I'm talking about the other.
On the question of Shad of the Pusset, maybe he was simply saying, I can give you everything. The last thing you asked for were the children. I can't give up the children.
No, because it says, see, I don't have the pasukim here, It says that the first time he said, I'll give you, and then I think there's a second
silver,
message.
Silver, gold, wives, and children. The first things I could give you, but the last thing I can't give you what?
So I don't have a malachim here. If I remember correctly, I don't have a malachim here.
They have it in the
Hebrew. No. I need more psukim than he brings down on the side. No, I see the three of them. In between Pasuk Beis over there in Gimel and Pasuk Vav, I think Akav agrees, and then there's a second set of demands. Is there a Malachim? Baruch Moshe, can I trouble you? Get me a Malachim on the other side. I'm sorry. It's all the way to the other side. He's one of the people that didn't get El Haba. So again, I told you, Akav is a real enigma. He's a very hard person to understand. He's very contradictory. I mean, we all are contradictory, but he took contradiction to a high, to a...
Why is there a Dinah Yaro-Yavor on this?
There is no Dinah Yaro-Yavor on this. Because what is it? It's not one of the three Chamuras. Yaro-Yavor is going to buy the Zara. That's what Yaro-Yavor is on.
You're saying
it's
the most precious...
It was a precious thing. He couldn't give it up. It was Mechav and Apeira. It's saying that he loves Tyra so much he could not give up Tyra. Who says? Let's do Rashi. Zok Rashi. Menayin shekibed es atayra dechtiv vayechom achmad enecho yisimu biyadim, they will put in their eyes. Okay, thank you. This is the way it goes over here. Malachim Aleph Chav. Yeah. So it starts again. He sends him the thing. Tayyim ben Adad. Katzmach azahav chalihu v'neshechav v'nenech atayvim liheim. That's what he sent him in Pasuk Gimel. Vayan melech Yisrael. He said, you can have everything. He ends it, fine. It's all yours. That's neshechav v'nenech atayvim. Pasuk Dalet, he agrees. Pasuk Hei. They come back and they say that I call you Ben Adad. I sent you saying, now this is my new addition. Now he did not mention that in Pasuk Gimel, and in Pasuk Dalet, Achav agrees. And Pasuk Vav, he sends him, he says, he's going to do search for Machmer Enecha. He says, he asked me for Nashai Uvanai Katsbi Zahavi Vavai Menati Mimendo. I didn't keep it from him. And now he wants this also? So the Skadim say, no, you can't give it him. Now, what is this Machmer Enecha that is not Nashecha, it's not Benecha, it's not his money, it's not his wives, it's not his children. And everybody agreed, he surrendered that. He was willing to give up his wives and children. He said, I'll give you what you want. Then when he sends them back, he said, I'm also taking Machmer Enecha. They told him, don't listen. So he sent back and he said, I can do what I said at first, but Adam Razel lo yuchal lasas. So Machmer Enecha can't be going on the children because he agreed to give up the children. It was something new. At the end, he won a huge victory, Achav. Ben-Hadad sent him that tomorrow I'm going to step all over you. Right? So it says, he says, tomorrow there won't be enough dirt and shimrain to the steps of my army, to the feet of my army. And Achav answered that the people who put on their sword should not be praising themselves for victory to the guy who already is taking it off. You know what I mean? You haven't won the war yet. Don't claim victory. And Navi came, and it was Michiel ben Yimla, and he said, Hashem said, you are going to know I am Hashem, I'm going to give you a big victory, and it was a major victory that he won over Ben-Hadad, yeah. They really beat him up a good time.
Where was Aram? Aram is where?
Aram is Syria. There's two Arams, Rashi says, Aram Tzaiva and Aram Narayim. One is Syria and one is Iraq. Those are the two Arams in the Torah. Aram Naraya means between the Tigris and the Euphrates. That's Iraq. And Aram Tzaiva is closer to Eretz Yisrael. So it's, I guess, western Iraq and eastern Syria. There's Syria, and then there's Aram Tzaiva and Aram Naraya. So I guess going east to west to east. That's the, so it's part of Syria, part of western Iraq. Yes. I guess where Fallujah is, I think, is in Aram Tzaiva, yes.
I
want
to ask,
it
bothers me to know it. So, since he was the father of the Torah, he gets extra years. But he loses... when is...
You don't know the Yitzhar.
No! But Olam Hab...
He's saying he's not getting properly rewarded.
If you ask him deep inside, what do you want? If you ask him deep, what do you really want?
Yeah, the Mekubalim say he made it to Olam Haba. I'm not going to argue with this now, but I will say the following. Somebody once explained it to me. I said, why is it fair that Rishonim get their schar in this world? They're not getting a fraction of the schar that Tzadikim are getting for the same mitzvah. So the way I was explained it to was with a mashal. Somebody walks over to you and says, Rav Avram, I owe you an unbelievable amount of appreciation. I really want to express the greatest appreciation I can. I've gotten you tickets to the ballet tonight. For you and your wife.
What?
To the ballet. Now, you would look at the guy and say, you would look at the guy and say, for a guy, this guy thinks he's giving you the most ultimate thing. And to you, you're looking at it like, what am I supposed to do with this? Right? Same thing here. Give a rush to Olam Haba, it's like putting you in the ballet. It's not schar. Not enjoyable.
But I can't believe that. I love the mushroom, but it's not, deep inside, a person would never go for that. He wouldn't.
The Bali Mokhtar say Olam Haba is like a shear. For those who enjoy shear, it's great. For those who don't enjoy shear, it's the most boring thing in the world. You can't make a person enjoy what he's not geared to enjoy.
He loved the Torah. What do you mean?
He loved the Torah, but he also served Abed Azara. Abed Azara doesn't go well in Olam Haba. It doesn't play well over there. Again, it's hard for me to answer because it's something that we don't comprehend, but that's the way I was explained it to that mushel with the ballet. So, right. That's the Gemara. That's Rashi. The Dilma Machmed Eina Vayna Avedis Gechavim. You can't say it's Avedis Gechavim. The Kamer Leitz Kenim Leitz Tishma Leitz Tzayva do not agree. You have Avedis Gechavim, you have Hamad Lehaki. Who they have said that? So Gemara says it's Havi Devasa. Skenim Shvalim Shai Rishayim. They were Rishayim. Kamer Shem Tzino Vav Shalom. The Kamer Leitz Havi Devasa. He calls the shameful Skenim Skenim. So the Gemara writes, Amar Avar Nachman Achav Shokul Hoya. Achav was a 50-50 person. He was mamish equal on the scale. Shenamar vayomer Hashem mi yafates Achav v'yal v'yipo baramas gilad. The story Achav caused the death of Navais and it's time to get him killed. Hashem says, who's going to seduce him? What's going to happen here so we can get him killed? That's what the Navis recounts the story. Vayomer zebekoi v'zebekoi. Each one offered upstairs different solutions of how to get Achav killed. Now, if Achav is such a big Russia, why do we have to be Mefata Achav? Like, we have to find a territory. He was Shokel. Because the Torah that he learned, the Torah that was precious, is a big Tzchar. And Ein Avera Mechaba Torah. Avera does not extinguish Torah. And therefore, you cannot scratch it off and say, he's over Avera Zara, therefore nothing else counts. He was Mechaba Torah. That's why I said it's so hard for us to explain this. Because what's an Avera Avera Zara doing, learning Torah? I mean, that's what happened. And he gets Tzchar. But the Mepharshim do point out, the Rambam points out, you see an unbelievable thing. Here is Achav and Ibn Abed Azara. But why is he getting killed? The bottom line is, what caused his death? Ritzicha. And not even Ritzicha that he did, but Ritzicha that he organized, that he caused, that he set up. As the Rambam, you see how terrible the Avera of Shichas Damim is? That when the bottom line came, Achav survived Ibn Azara for 22 years. But he did not survive his killing someone. He could not survive the Avera of Ritzicha. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ritzicha. It shows you the Chomer of Ritzicha. That's what the Gemara writes.
Why was he judged for
Because he did this Haver Rav Navai.
Who's going to make him do tshuva?
I guess it was time to punish him. He had already earned his punishment. It was right. Rashi. The Rashi Shankalai Mechza Vayna Mechza Schuyas. The Mahadji Kulahai, they were searching me about this Achav. Mashmid Vakushin Gottlenanis. It wasn't so simple to punish him. Rukha Shonovus, it's right. Zatha Gemara Vayter, Vayoyim Mani Apate, I'm sorry. Vaskal Rabbi Yisif. Man the Kosta Bey Rakhlahoya Ka'achav Ashishmaka Lazar Sarab Eine Hashem. The one that the Pasuk says there was no one as bad as Achav that sold himself to do bad in the eyes of Hashem. Asher, he sat to Oitzai Izevel Ishtar. Izevel, his wife, seduced him. She made him do all these averas. She was the worst. Some say she wasn't Jewish. Some say she was Jewish. Not so simple. Whatever it is, she was bad. Every day she used to weigh big amounts of money for Avodah Zarah. I'm a chunkalaya and you calling him 50-50? That the Gemara la Achav Vatra b'mamaynahaya. Achav was a giving person. Mitzayach shehen at Tamidah Chachamim in the Chasav, and since he supported Tamidah Chachamim, he enabled them to learn Kipru loy mechza. It forgave him half his sins. Zdaka lasts through Avodah Zarah. He did all this terrible thing, but he gave Zdaka. He supported Tyra. Kipru loy mechza. It forgave half his averus. Okay.
Why is it then that some yeshivas, not too many, and some will not take money from people that are not that good?
Right. There are yeshivas that refuse because they want their Torah to be pure.
But we see, look at this.
That's chus for the giver, but that not doesn't mean that the Torah doesn't come from the mice supported by money earned in a possibly improper way. Very few yeshivas, by the way.
I
don't take any money from you.
That's what I heard. I mean, I tried to give it, they wouldn't take it.
And the Spirit came and stood in front of Hashem. I will seduce him. How? I will have all his prophets say prophecy falsely, and they will tell him to go to war and he'll get killed. You seduce them and you'll be successful. Go do this. My ruach, who is this ruach? I'm Rabbi Yechonon Rucha Shanovas Israeli. This was the spirit of Navas. He's the one that got killed. My say, what do you mean go out? I'm Rabbi Netzaimim Chitzasi. The mighty got punished also Navas for encouraging falsehood. Sib Daivish Karim Layikim Negadim. People who speak falsely don't stand in front of my eyes. I'm Rabbi behind us. I'm Inchi. The Parakine, one who pays off his jealousy, who takes revenge, mach revese. But at the end of the day, he ends up losing and taking revenge as well. Takes revenge. Achav got punished, but Navas paid the price. Rashi ruchah shenavas yishuharik navas hayiruchah machzul lefetaisu labilai. His spirit was trying to get Achav killed. The parakina kina parakina jealousy. Aparei noikim chamosoi bikinosoi. The one who pays back his revenge, mach revese karuach shenavas. He took revenge of his anger from Achav, and he left from the machitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay?